words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, which is Pentecost, commonly called Whitsunday, is written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. I titled it, He Shall Teach You All Things. Both morning and evening prayer, the prayer book gives us a versicle and response which reads, O God, make clean our hearts within us, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. The two obviously go hand in hand. In biblical terms, the heart is the seat of the will. The heart is the part of us which decides what we will think and say and do. We receive the Holy Ghost in baptism and confirmation, and after those sacraments, the Holy Ghost works within us to make our hearts clean. A completely clean heart means a perfect will. A perfect will is one which always does the will of God. Our wills are not perfect yet, but He is working on us as much as we will let Him. To pray that God will not take His Spirit away conjures up for me the image of Saul, the first king of Israel. God gave Saul His Spirit for me, His Spirit when He anointed him as king. When Saul disobeyed God in several ways, God took His Spirit away. Saul went into a steep mental decline because he could no longer communicate with God. King Saul lived in the days of the old order when God gave His Spirit only to certain people for certain lengths of time to do certain tasks. For example, it was the Holy Ghost who spake by the prophets of Israel. Since God gave the Spirit this way, there was always the possibility that He would take it away. But one of the prophets foretold the day when God would give His Spirit to the world so broadly that everybody everywhere would have as much of it as he wanted. The prophet Joel writes, It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. God did just that 10 days after Jesus had ascended into heaven, fulfilling the promise Jesus said He would fulfill. That day, the Jews were celebrating the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, the day on which God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai some 1300 or 1400 years before. The Spirit came as fire. God had shown Himself to Moses first as a burning bush. The Spirit came as wind. The word Spirit and ghost mean wind as well as breath. Jesus had said of the Spirit, The wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goest. And the Spirit came as languages spoken by people who never had learned them, in an exact reversal of the linguistic chaos that resulted from the building of the Tower of Babel. But perhaps the most astonishing thing that happened that morning was that St. Peter preached a coherent sermon. Peter, well-meaning, but headstrong, and a blunderer rather than a great intellect. Peter knew by the power of the same Holy Ghost what was happening, was what Joel had prophesied. To the scoffers, who said the men who spoke tongues were drunk, Peter says, It is too early for anyone to be drunk. What is happening here is that God is doing what Joel said he would do. And it is all happening because of Jesus. The man you connived to put to death just a few weeks ago, God raised him from his grave, just as King David prophesied in the Psalms that he would do. Peter ended his sermon, an extremely short one, by the way, with these words, that Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, and having he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter not only explained what was going on, but also in the process accused his listeners of being guilty of the murder of the Son of God. St. Luke says his hearers were pricked in their heart and said, "What shall we do?" Peter replied forthrightly, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." 3,000 people responded. So the key to a clean heart is, if you will, a heart that is pricked, just as the heart of the Jews were on Pentecost. To begin to do the will of God is to realize that you will not do the will of God if left to your own devices, and that your own devices have a potential to carry you as far as killing God himself. But even if you are guilty of killing God himself, God will not cast you out forever. If you admit what you have done and are sorry for it, God will forgive you and reconcile you and give you his Holy Spirit to start cleaning up your dirty heart. We need to know that the Spirit is in us and that he wants to help us, and then let him work, as Jesus says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed, as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.